everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Keep Calm and Mental Health On. I'm your host, Aditi, and today we're speaking with a special guest who has a passion for youth mental health, ranging from classrooms in Nigeria to digital platforms across the world. She is a mental health educator, content creator, and writer with a lot of experience in mental health advocacy work. Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners with your name and a little bit about yourself?
Hi everyone, my name is Ibiyemi Shina. I'm an advocate living in Nigeria. I studied psychology. I graduated last year and I'm committed to creating a safe space for people with mental health, for people struggling with their mental health. So basically, that's what I do. And I like to call myself your one stop for every single thing mental health. Nice to be on this podcast today.
Welcome to the podcast. And to start off, what does mental health advocacy personally mean to you?
Okay, to me, mental health advocacy means creating the change I desire to see. Because as someone who has also had, I like to say, my own fair share of mental health struggle, right? I understand how it feels for you to feel like people do not see you, for you to feel like people don't see the struggles that you are going through. And at the beginning of my mental health advocacy journey, I used to do a lot of stating the problem, complaining a lot without actually doing something about it, right? So to me, mental health advocacy is about creating the change I desire to see in the mental health space and also holding space for other people as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you've been doing this work for a while now. So, what sparked your journey in the mental health advocacy world, and what made you really care about mental health?
What sparked my journey into mental health advocacy? I would say my story, the story of a relative, and also the story, I can never forget, the story of a university student, a UNILAG student. So in Nigeria, there's a school they call University of Lagos University. And I remember sitting in my room that day and I saw news that said, oh, a student died by suicide. I've always been interested in mental health, but just hearing that story sparked me. It sparked something in me. I'm like, oh, I don't think it's possible for someone to just wake up one day and decide, I want to die by suicide. I want to end my life. I don't think it's possible. So I remember hearing that news, and then I just created a group chat because a lot of people already know me to mental health before then. So I just created a group chat, added a few people. Oh, let's talk about this. I brought someone with lived experience and we spoke about it. And that was how I actively started mental health advocacy. But before then, always you will constantly see me reading about mental health, going online, reading about different disorders, about the state of mental health in Nigeria. I was very passionate about it, but then that one experience, and then also experience of a family member as well. I remember when one of my relatives was struggling with his mental health. I was still young then, I was in secondary school, and I was in boarding school. So a friend came to me, a family friend came to meet me, and she was telling me how, oh, they said your brother has joined court, has done this. And I'm like, I know my brother. That's not my brother, right? Only for me to realize that she did not understand mental health struggles, right? So the news that was going on all around was, oh, he was into drugs, he was a courtist, and that was why he was struggling with his mental health. We just shows the stigma associated with mental health, especially in Nigeria. Because if you are struggling with your mental health, people just assume that is because you did something wrong or you have a role to play in it, which I don't think is true. And I also had my own fair share in 2019, and it just kind of started my mental health journey.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And you're currently leading an initiative to reach over 600 children and teenagers with mental health education, and that sounds really amazing. So, can you tell us what inspired our minds, our community, and how it's going so far?
If you asked me this question last year, I don't think I would say that I ever saw myself trying to do some. I like to say it is crazy because how old am I? I'm just 20. I just turned 20 in April, so I'm pretty young, right? So I never imagined that I would be leading something this huge. I mean, to other people, it might not be something huge, but for me, I think it's actually really great, right? Because if you knew me, let's say 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you constantly hear something like, "Oh, I don't like children. I don't like talking to children." You will constantly hear me say that to people a lot, right? So imagine someone who doesn't like kids, and now I'm running a mental health initiative especially for these children, right? So, what inspired me to start our mental community was actually the instruction of God, because I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ, right? So it was just God telling me. It was an instruction from God, basically, and it wasn't a case of God speaking to a random person, right? Because I'm already passionate about mental health. I do a lot of digital content. I put out content on mental health on my Instagram, everywhere, right? So it wasn't something that was super hard for me, right? But then at the same time, I still had that fear to start because I've never done this before. I like to say sometimes I like being super comfortable being behind the scenes, right? So if I want to post something online now, nobody knows where I am. But then imagine going out there, I'm actually speaking to real people. I mean, people online are actually real people, but then I would have to speak to children, talk to them, educate them about mental health. And I would say that it has been great. It's been good. It's been great, but it can be better. It has taught me a lot, right? Starting our minds, our community. One thing I've learned is that passion would only take you so far, but then passion without knowledge, you can't really do anything if you don't have the knowledge. You can say, "Oh, I'm a mental health advocate. I'm very passionate about this." But if you do not have the right knowledge, the right skills, the change you want to create, you can't really do so much with it. But I'm really grateful that it has been a learning curve for me because as I'm educating these kids, I'm also educating myself as well. I'm also educating myself, sorry, as well. Basically, what we do at our Minds Our Community, we educate kids about mental health. We create safe spaces for them for conversations like this to hold. And then we also come from the aspect of faith and mental health because most people think faith and mental health can coexist. One, you have to leave one for the other. But then I believe that science and your belief in God can also coexist together. So we also talk to them about the gospel, and then we also give them a men we also give out free mental health affirmation card, and that's gospel themed as well. But then we do a lot basically. And this we recently had an edition in Abuja. We went to underserved community in Abuja, Ibiazin community, and since I went there, I left with a very huge burden because now going to that community, and that was the fifth edition of our mental health outreach. But then going to that community made me realize something. It is beyond me. It is bigger than me, and it is much more than coming to talk to these kids about mental health. So since then, I've been thinking of how to make it better, how to actually help these kids, these teenagers that we're speaking to, because if I come to you now and I talk to you about mental health, once I leave, right, I'm literally dumping you back into that community, that environment that is already, choking whatever it is, right? So I've been thinking of a way to make things more, to help these kids beyond just mental health, access to quality education, making them access to mirrors of possibilities, people they can look up to and see, "Oh, my life is beyond just my environment," right? So, I would say that it's been great. I've been learning a lot, and we're also open to funding as well because I think that has been one of our major roadblocks, getting people to partner with us and see the beautiful work that we're doing.
Yeah, that's an amazing initiative to be starting so young. And I'll make sure if you have any links, I'll make sure to put them down below if people would like to fund that initiative. So I'm pretty sure you are learning a lot from directly working with youth in Nigerian communities. So I feel like what's something that most people misunderstand about mental health especially when you're working directly with these people?
Okay, so when working with young people in the mental health, that your personal experience is not, your experience is not their experience at the end of the day. Even though you have gone through something that seems exactly similar. Let's say you had depression at age 14. You also had depression at age 14. You lost both parents at age 16. They also lost both. It doesn't mean that your experiences are the same at the end of the day. So I think when working with people like this, you have to come as a clean slate, right? We might have similar experiences. For example, for me, I run our Minds Are community. I started struggling with my mental. I'm better now, way better. But I started struggling with my mental health in when I was 14, 13, 14 years. And I also talked to these kids. But then I can't come and say, oh, because I started struggling at a very early age, I can completely understand every single thing that you're going through. That's a complete lie, right? Because I've even seen that from working with these kids, there are some experiences I genuinely cannot relate to it. Even if I try to, I can empathize with you and all of that, but I can't exactly relate to all of your experiences. So don't come as this thing that is going on with you and I'm here to save you. Don't come that way. Come, because this is something I've learned from my mental health internship, practicing as a psychologist in training, right? When it comes to therapy, you're not providing solutions, you are walking them till they realize that solution themselves, right? So it also applies to doing these community outreaches and working with these youth, right? Because you're not don't come and put solutions at them, right? Your upbringing is different, environment is different. There are a lot of things that makes an individual unique, right? So you have to see from all of these perspectives and come up with a solution that applies to them and not what you think they need, but actually what they need. And it will involve you speaking to them, speaking to the community, speaking to their parents. You need to have conversations with these people to create the solutions, to create a solution that would actually help them.
Yeah, I think it is really important to help guide people to solutions rather than give them solutions yourself without knowing them that well. And I realize that, you wear so many hats. You're an educator, a content creator, and a journalist. So how do you use storytelling to build awareness and fight stigma in mental health?
I would not exactly call myself a journalist. I
Okay.
wouldn't exactly call myself a journalist. So the story to that is my dad is a journalist. My dad has a media house. He runs Nigerian News Direct in Nigeria, right? Basically, my family, we all grew up in media. So whether I want to or not, I'm in media, whether I want to or not. But then from time to time, I write mental health articles in the newspaper as well. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. So how do I'm also a content creator, that's true, and educator. I started that this year. But then how do I use storytelling to end stigma and drive awareness? Basically, I like to use storytelling. I start with myself. I start with my own story, because at the end of the day, people can't relate to something that is abstract. When it comes to mental health, people already have this assumption that mental health is hard to understand. Mental health does not affect me. Mental health is there and I'm here, right? But then you have to bridge that gap between their knowledge and the assumption that they have. And for you to do that, you have to use someone that is real. And thankfully enough, or yeah, thankfully enough, I've had my own fair share. I have feelings. I have emotions. I have my own experiences. So whenever I want to talk about mental health, I don't come from the perspective of I'm an expert on the topic. Even though I studied psychology and I plan on getting my master's soon, I'm currently in training as well, doing an internship, a 1 year internship, right? I'm not still coming as an expert. I know everything about mental health. So I tend to use storytelling. I tend to use my own story. I use my own story. And I don't come just sharing all of my, putting all my private information out there on social media. By sharing an experience I've had, I link that to mental health. Still, this thing affects you, it affects me, it affects everybody, right? So that's how I use storytelling, by starting with myself, because I've noticed that since I started sharing my story, my community on Instagram, people tend to send me DMs, send me messages, and it just makes people open up as well, because oh, this thing is actually real. I can relate to this person. Because it's different for me if I come and say, oh, Personae as depression, and then I say Fatima as depression. Samson, give a name to these people, and don't just use abstract terms or come with all the psychology jargons. People would not understand, the people you are trying to talk to at the end of the day. Because I can as well I can as well just go and meet the experts and educate them about mental health. But those are not people that need it. People that actually need it are people like myself, right? So I have to come down to their level, use storytelling, and make them see that mental health affects all of us.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So I feel like, what's your favorite kind of content to make? The ones that you make on Instagram, like posts and videos, or things like articles and campaigns, and why do you think that way?
I think determining the type of content I prefer depends on a lot of factors in terms of availability. For example, if I want to make a video content, I'm thinking lights, I'm thinking mic, I'm thinking this. But if I want to write, I can stay on my bed and just write something out, and everybody gets the information. It depends on how far it goes, right? So I don't necessarily have a favorite form of content. For example, if I want to create video content, I have to think of, creative ideas. How do I pass this message across to people creatively? I also think of the platform. There are a lot of factors that determine it, but I prefer creating video content. But then, because I prefer creating video content, it has in a way limited me from putting out more content about it, because I'm thinking of all the things I have to get together. But I also enjoy writing. I enjoy writing a lot, because when I write, you have access into my mind. You have access into my brain. You can see what I think about mental health. I recently wrote an article on mental health advocacy in Nigeria, but I've been scared actually of putting it out, because I don't know. I think after this call, I'll probably just post it. But yeah, I can't really repeat video writing. Anyone works for me.
Yeah, and okay. So, as someone working in media, what advice would you give to advocates who want to use their digital platforms for social good like you do to advocate for mental health as well?
And what advice would I give to them for people in the mental health space, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that at the beginning, right, there is a tendency for you to, especially for someone with lived experience, there is a tendency for you to, in an attempt to want to be very relatable. So there is such a blurry line between being very relatable and putting out all your private information out there. I think at the beginning, I don't think I completely understood that. So every single thing about me, if I'm having an episode, if this is happening, if that is happening, you'll probably find it online, right? But over time, I've come to realize that it's possible for you to be very relatable without divulging all of your private information. You can share certain aspects, your experiences and all, but there's a way you can share your experience without telling people every single detail about it, right? So I would say that that's one thing you should be very careful about. And also be very, if you know that you are not quite knowledgeable about the topic, don't talk about it, right? Because it's very easy for you to mislead people. And that's why you would come online now and everybody thinks, oh, if you just have a warm bath, if you just take bubble tea, your mental health is going to be great forever. I mean, strategies, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to have an optimal mental health because you're taking bubble tea every morning or you're having a warm bath, right? So you can decide to pick a topic you know that you have so much knowledge about and stick to it. But then, in as much as you're sticking to it, right, you need to also read, learn about other aspects, because you need to let opportunity meet you prepared at the end of the day. Right, you can't decide to just pick an aspect and not know anything about other aspects as well. And I think one thing that would also help you is collaboration a lot. That's something I'm learning. At the beginning, I don't think I used to collaborate with people a lot, but now I'm learning to, follow other people in the mental health space and also see how they do their thing. Because at the end of the day, collaboration is very key in the mental health space. You can't create the change alone. You will need people. Only one person can't meet billions of people in this world with mental health education or ending the stigma, right? You will need people along on the journey, and you need people that are knowledgeable and people that also believe in your vision as well. Also, I would also say don't be scared of what people would say at the end of the day, because the mental health space, we don't have a lot of people. At the same time, we have a lot of people posing like they are mental health advocates or professionals. Thankfully, what they don't have the good interest of people at heart, right? So don't be scared of showing up with so much audacity. If you have an idea, go for it now. Go for it right now. Do it now. I mean, it might be very scary, right? But walk into spaces knowing fully well that you have a vision and you know that you want to create that change, because no, the change won't fall on your lap. You would have to work towards it and create the change you really want to see.
Yeah, collaboration is very important, and so is being informed about the things you talk about. And I've noticed that suicide prevention is a topic that you speak out on. So, how you approach such a sensitive subject with both compassion and cultural awareness?
In my country, Nigeria, right? I think suicide is still a crime. Suicide is a crime in Nigeria, right? So for talking about suicide, talking about a topic like that, I can't just come online and start, because there's a way you can talk about suicide because you are trying to, there's a way you can talk about suicide and it sounds like you are encouraging suicide. Right, so you have to be very careful. In as much as you want to empathize with people, you want people to know that you understand, right? You need to be very careful so that people don't come to you when they are feeling suicidal, knowing full well that, oh, I think Shindara is going to encourage me to do this. No, I won't encourage you. But then if you want to talk about suicide, right, it's very important that you come from a place of no judgment. I'm not judging you. At the same time, I'm not going to encourage you. So I'm going to try to see, why do you want to take your life? What is going on with you? So at the end of my place of compassion, coming from a place of care, I'm not coming from a place of judgment, because you can hear someone say, oh, I'm very suicidal, I want to end my life. And then people would start saying things like, oh, you have all the money in the world, you have a parent, you have a place to sleep, right? Why would you want to take your life, right? As someone who has attempted suicide quite a number of times, right, I would say that if someone comes to me and says, oh, I want Shindera, why are you suicidal? You have a father, you have a mother, you are going to a good school, so why do you want to end your life? I would not listen to you. I would probably just go ahead and take my life. But then if someone comes with so much compassion, so much care, say, I want to understand why you want to take your life. Talk to me, right? This is a safe space. Right. And that's what made me understand the importance of creating safe spaces for people. You don't have to wait to have a program to have a community outreach before you create safe spaces for people. Right. As you go about your day, be very kind, be very loving. Let people know you as someone that I can talk to this person about anything, and I know this person is not going to judge me. At the same time, this person is not going to encourage my out of order act at the same time. So approaching a topic as sensitive as suicide requires compassion and requires care as well, requires love. The core of it at that point is that person and not how you feel about it. Let's say maybe your religion doesn't even accept suicide or something, I don't know. But then that's not your focus right now. Your focus is on how to help this person so they don't take their own lives, because they have so much potential, they have so much light that they still need to share with the world.
Yeah, safe spaces are very, very important. So I feel like I just want to ask, what are some of the biggest mental health misconceptions that you've seen in Nigerian or even African communities, and how can we start shifting those narratives?
There are a lot. I don't exactly know where to start from, but I will start from religion, right? In Nigeria, there is this popular misconception about how, as a Christian or as a believer or whatever religion you practice, you cannot faith and science cannot coexist together. It shows that you lack faith, trust God enough to heal you. So why are you taking drugs? Why are you going for therapy, right? And that's one thing that we try to, that's one thing we're trying to fight at our mindset community. Faith and mental health can coexist together. And if you think that's very untrue, you can come and meet me. You can look at my life, right? I'm a core believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. I feel like I've said that a number of times. I believe in Christ. I pray. And there is one thing I go by. Pray as if you won't see a therapist, and see a therapist as if you are not going to. You have to be balanced. And balance does not always mean 50-50. Sometimes balance is 70-30. Sometimes balance is 90-10. Just like when you are eating rice and stew, you don't put the same amount of stew in the rice. I mean, it's going to be very overwhelming. Tell me what balance is for you part time at the end of the day. But for me, prayer is a core part at the same time therapy, because I don't think I would have gotten to this point. I would have gotten so much help. I don't even think I'll be here having this talking. I don't think I'll be here on this podcast, right? If I did not get the help that I needed at that time, and even prayed as well, right? So that's one misconception that people need to realize, that faith and mental health can coexist. It doesn't mean you lack faith in God. It doesn't mean that at all. And then another thing that people don't believe in Nigeria, people are now opening up themselves to the possibility, but it's still there's still that, oh, should I not? And that's the idea of therapy. That's the idea of therapy. In Nigeria, most people don't like going for therapy because they think, oh, why am I talking about my problem with a stranger? What's this person? What if I just come online one day and I see on Twitter where somebody is discussing what I said in what is supposed to be a confidential situation, right? So that's also one misconception. But then I like to say that as psychologists, people that actually studied psychology or, got the necessary degree to be a therapist, to be a clinical psychologist or a therapist or a counselor, we understand the importance of confidentiality, right? We are trained to, we don't even pass judgment. We don't, whatever you tell us, it stays within that room, right? So it's something that we need to constantly let people know that therapy, if you go for therapy, nobody's, it is supposed to be a safe space, right? And you also have the liberty to choose whoever you want to be your therapist. If this therapist is not matching up with your standard, you have the opportunity to change to another person as well. So people don't really believe in therapy, but right now, I think a lot of people are now opening up themselves to the possibility of actually seeing a therapist, right? The only issue now is how expensive it is, right? But I believe that there will be proper structures. People are working hard to make sure that we provide access to free quality healthcare. For example, at our mental community, I think we have two kids currently in therapy, free therapy. So there are a lot of people doing beautiful things. Another misconception I would say is, I don't think it's just in Nigeria, right? I think generally people don't know the difference between mental health and mental illness. So they will say, oh, I don't have a mental health. Or you have a mental health, just the way you have a physical health, you have a mental health as well, right? So most people don't understand that. And that's why they shy away from conversations surrounding mental health. You see men don't want to talk about their feelings, because, which now brings me to the fourth misconception, I believe. A lot of men, especially, I don't know if it's just in Nigeria, I don't know if it's generally, but then a lot of Nigerian men don't like talking about their feelings. They'd rather just keep it to themselves, because they're supposed to man up. They're supposed to be a man, right? They're supposed to provide for their family. They're supposed to do this. And they don't talk about their feelings, but then they don't realize that you cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty well, right? So there are a lot of misconceptions. Like I said, I can go on and on and on, but I think I'll just stop there.
Yeah, your work is truly inspiring. And I just wanted to know if you could share a message with anyone in the world right now about mental health, what would it be?
One message that I would share with the world about mental health is, I think I have a lot to share. But first, I would say that mental health affects every single person, and we all need to work together. I genuinely believe that everyone should be a mental health advocate, because you are at the end of the day, you're advocating for yourself. You need to have a voice. You're advocating to have a voice in the decisions that matter, that affect your life, right? So I would say that mental health affects every single person, and we all need to come together to make sure that we create the change that we truly desire to see. And one thing I would also say for anyone that is struggling and currently listening to me is that healing is truly possible, regardless of whatever anyone has ever told you, that probably you would never get out of this, or you would constantly feel that way for the rest of your life. I genuinely believe that's not true. I've heard stories of people, even myself, that have gone through mental health struggles. They got the desired help. They were committed to it. They were very intentional about their healing, and now they are great. They are okay. They are doing well. They are changing, making shifts in whatever space they find themselves in. So I just want to tell anybody listening to me that healing is truly possible, and tomorrow is going to be good, right? No matter how today looks, because I remember then as well, I used to think that I would never get better. I'll probably even be asking for death or something, because the pain was too much for me to deal with. But then, through resilience, getting the help that I need, I genuinely believe that healing is possible. And I am genuinely rooting for everyone that is currently experiencing going through any form of mental health struggle right now.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your voice on the podcast today and for sharing your experiences and your amazing work. I love how you want to create the change that you want to see in the world. That just sounds so beautiful. And your work really reminds me, and I know so many other people, that mental health advocacy can happen in classrooms, communities, and even conversations like this. And to our listeners, if anyone wants to check out her work, make sure to check the episode description for links and resources. And until next time, keep calm and mental health on.